Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. So glad to have you with us here on KFBK for 18 years. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're doing. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County. I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed. And everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of tax, legal, or any other kind of advice. It's my opinion. My opinion is sometimes a really good opinion, but it's my opinion. I've got lots to talk about today, as always. Lots of new stuff. Lots of old stuff. I always have more things than I know what to talk about when I get ready for the show. And this week's no different. I have like 7 or 8 things in front of me, and I know that there's no way I'm going to get to more than 2 of them. So glad to have you with us. Lots of ways to contact me. The best way is to go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S. ETS and ANG aging aging.com assetsandaging.com. When you go to my website, you can call me. My phone number's there, 800-999-8007. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have them regularly. You can sign up for a free appointment with me. You can sign up for my email newsletter, which is free. Or you can also ask me a question online. So if you need something with a little bit more substantial answer or whatever, you can do that. All of that is available by going to my website, assetsandaging.com. Also there, you will find my archived podcasts and radio shows. Every Wednesday at noon, I do a live podcast on my website. And you can go there and you can listen to my archived shows, my archived radio shows, and stay caught up. It's a good way to do it, and I think you'll have fun doing it, and there's always something interesting to talk about. What else? And again, you're always welcome to just call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007, and I would be happy to try to help. If you're dealing with a loved one, a parent, a grandparent, a spouse, somebody who's just having a little more trouble with life as they get a little older, someone who's beginning to fail. I had somebody in my office just today where one of the spouses is in the early stages of dementia. And, all of a sudden life is completely different than when everybody was healthy. I hadn't planned on talking about that, but that just keyed something else into my head, which is life is different, folks, when you're dealing with someone who's failing. It's not the same. You can't have the same discussions. You can't have the same reasoned arguments. You can't beg. You can't plead sometimes. You're dealing with someone who's set in their ways. You're dealing with someone who's giving up their independence. They're angry about it. They're confused about it. Things don't taste the same as we get older. We don't see colors as well when we get older. We don't smell things the way we used to when we were younger. Everything around us is changing. I'll be 71 this year. I'm not the same as I was 30 years ago. Other than I'm stunningly still handsome, but other than that, I'm not. I joke. But things have changed, and when you're dealing with someone who's beginning to become more frail and fail, life is just different. Things are different. It's just not the same, and you need to realize that when you're dealing with that person in your family that's going through this, they don't know what's going on. They don't have a handle on what's going on. And you have to approach the situation completely differently then where do we go to have dinner tonight? Or do you want to go visit the kids? Or what should we get our best friend for Christmas? It's a whole nother set of issues and ideas and thoughts. It's guilt-laden. It's stressful. It's all of those things. And when you're dealing with it, none of us are prepared for what's going to happen. And the other thing that's going to happen is it's going to be unpredictable. Because one day, mom or dad or grammy or grampy or my spouse or whoever it is, is acting one way, and tomorrow it could be completely different. It could be a whole nother set of behaviors. Those of you that have ever dealt with someone with dementia know that that's exactly what happens. What we're dealing with today is not necessarily what we're going to deal with tomorrow. And all of a sudden, life has a way of changing and changing very, very quickly. So I encourage you, if you're dealing with somebody that's going through this now, get help. Get to a support group. Find a therapist somewhere. Learn about the diseases that they have a little bit and what it's going to do to their mood and their behavior. Be aware in your own life of the impact it's having on your health. Are you stressed? Is your blood pressure up? Do you need to take stuff to help you sleep because you're awake all night? All of those kinds of things. It's a different world, and we cannot apply the same set of structures and strictures to it that we would apply to a normal, everyday, you know, situation. It's not like, what clothes do I wear this morning? It's, can the person even put on their clothes, and do they know what clothes are? I remember, and I don't mean to be indelicate, but I'm going to tell you this story. I don't know if I've ever shared this on the radio, but one of the very first Medi-Cal cases I ever did 25 years ago, I walked into the house and I met the wife who met me at the door. And in about 3 or 4 minutes later, her husband walked into the room absolutely stark naked. And I noticed that. And she, of course, got embarrassed. And what had simply happened was he had gone to the bathroom and taken off his clothes. And then when he was done, he couldn't remember what he was supposed to do next. And so he just walked out to where the voices were. It's not like dealing with any circumstance you've ever dealt with in your life. And one of the first things you have to do is be honest about what's happening with mom or dad or my spouse or grandma and grandpa or whoever it is, pardon me, that I'm tasked with taking care of. You just have to really be honest, and the family has to be honest with each other about what's going on and what's happening to mom or the daughter who's the caregiver or whoever. Need a little drink to make my throat clear up here in the morning. So it's important that you understand you've entered a new world. Now, as you enter that world, you're going to need some new tools to use. And I want to use this example. And I think it's a really good example, by the way. I like it. I made it up. That's why I like it. One day I had a lady sitting in my office, pardon me, and we were talking about things, and I was trying to explain to her about tools and stuff and what you need to have. And I asked her, I said, do you have a purse? Now, I already knew the answer to the question because most women don't go anywhere without a purse. And she said, yes, I have a purse. And I said to her, what do I now know about you? And she said, that I have a purse. I said, do I know what's in the purse? And she said, no. I said, so I really don't know much about you, do I? And what I want to do is I want to compare the purse with long-term care planning. The fact that I have a family member that's becoming frail doesn't tell me anything. It tells me I have a purse. So I then said to her, I said, you know, you could have any, I don't know what's in your purse, but what's in your purse will help me deal with you or with whoever we're talking about. You might have a gun in your purse. You might have money in your purse. You might have credit cards in your purse. You might have a driver's license in your purse. You might have a pair of scissors that you use to help cut threads off. You might have a fingernail file. You might have nail polish in there. You might have a Swiss Army knife, so you've got lots of little tools and all kinds of stuff. You may have all kinds of tools inside your purse. And you could have different purses. The fact that you have a $399 purse or a $599 purse or a $13,250 purse makes no difference. I still don't know what's in it. I don't know what tools you have in it, and I don't know what tools you don't have in it. So, for instance, you may have tools in there to put makeup on, but you don't have tools to change the spark plugs in a car. That's a different set of tools. So what you have in your purse may be adequate or it may be limiting. The same thing is true with documents. The same thing is true with trusts or wills or powers of attorney or a long-term care plan or whatever it is. To simply say I have one tells me nothing. For instance, people will say to me all the time, I'll say, well, Dad's, you know, who's in charge? And they'll say, oh, well, I am. I'm the executor of Dad's will. Well, that's an empty purse. What do you mean that's an empty purse, Bob? They got a will. But wills don't go into effect until somebody's dead. And in my world, nobody's dead. I'm talking to families who are dealing with someone who's alive. They may be frail. They may be incapacitated. They may be incompetent. They may be failing. But they're not dead. So it's the same as having an empty purse. I have a purse, but it's not going to help me in this set of circumstances. You could also compare it, for guys, to a toolbox. Do you know what's in your toolbox? Do you have the tools in there to snake a drain? Do you have the tools in there to change the spark plugs? Do you have the tools in there to do plumbing or electrical? Pardon me. Do you have the tools to weld? I don't know. To simply say that I have a toolbox doesn't tell me what tools I have in there. Are my tools limited? And then is my ability to use those tools limited? So, for instance, I could have a welding torch, but I don't know how to use a welding torch. So it doesn't do me any good to say I have a welding torch if I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to apply it. Or if I need to fix a drain, having a welding torch doesn't help me fix the drain. So I could have the tool, but it's the wrong tool. So what's in your purse? What tools do you have as a family or as an individual that are going to allow someone to deal with you when you get older? So if we equate the tools to somebody will say, well, I have a trust. Great. What does it say? What tools are in it? What does it let someone do? Well, Bob, it lets somebody do everything. No, that's like saying I have every tool known to man in my toolbox. I don't. Or I have everything I'm ever going to need in my purse. Or whatever it is. Nobody has everything. And there also may be some things missing. There may be some tools that are perfectly good tools, but they only have to do maybe with dying. They don't have to do with frailty or long-term care or those kinds of things. So what's in your purse? As you begin to look at your life and you begin to look at your plan, what tools do you have in your purse or in your toolbox that are going to let you do that? And then here comes the hard question. Do you know how to use those tools? Do you know what to do with them? Do you know how they work? Do your kids know how those tools work? Does your family know how those tools work? I know my wife has two different things in her purse. When she's local, she has one set of things in her purse. If we're going to travel, she adds stuff to the purse because she knows that in traveling, we may need more tools. She may need more stuff because she's not going to have access. All of us take pills at night or in the morning. But you keep them in your bathroom. They're in the medicine cabinet, aren't they? Well, if you travel, you've got to do what? You got to add those to your toolbox or to your purse. Because you're not going to be in the kitchen anymore. You're going to need to take your tools with you. If you're going camping, you're going to have to take a tent, and you're going to have to take a hammer to type hammer in the tent pegs, and you're going to have to take a Coleman stove, and you're going to have to have different tools because you now have a different task. So the tools that work for one thing don't necessarily work for something else, and you have to determine and be able to identify the tools that you have, the things that are in your purse that you can use for frailty or long-term care or Medi-Cal or VA benefits or the other things. Who's going to be the caregiver? Who can sign contracts? Who can pick facilities? Who can pay for them? All the things that come with frailty and getting older in dementia or physical infirmity like MS or Parkinson's or Lewy body or something else. Diabetes. Do you have all those tools in your purse? So when I ask what's in your purse, I don't really care what's in your actual purse, but I want you to use that as a visual example of making sure that what you have is current and up to date. You know, every woman I know has different purses. There's a purse for everyday use. There's a dress-up purse, and they carry different things in it. There's a cocktail purse. There's, you know, the purse that you take on vacation that you can put a camera in and everything else in. So I have to have a different purse and different tools within that purse depending upon my task. And planning for the care of a loved one, an aging loved one, a parent, pardon me, a grandparent, is different. So you have to look as a family at the plan you have for dealing with mom or dad or grammy or grampy as they become more frail and as they get older. Do you have the tools necessary? Do you have the documents necessary? Do you have the authorities necessary? Do you know where they are? Do you as a family know what they say? Do we know who's in charge? If there's three kids, do they know who's going to be in charge, or are all three of them going to be in charge? We're not talking about heirs now. We're talking about who's going to be in charge of that loved one's life if you're not. So do you have the right tools, and does the family know where they are and how to find them? It's an important question to ask, what's in your purse. It really is. If one of the kids has to take mom to the hospital in an emergency, one of the first things they're going to ask for is, where's your tools? We sometimes call them an advanced healthcare directive. Where's your mom's ID? Who's your mom's health insurance with? Is she on Medicare? Who's her Medicare supplement? Those are all the things that need to be in the purse when it comes to long-term care and frailty planning. Do we know where mom's bank account is or dad's bank account is? Who's in charge of it? Do we have access to it? Do we have to give permission? Is there a safety deposit box? Who can get in it? If I begin to understand, I want you to expand your vision of a purse or a toolbox to making sure you have the right tools in the right toolbox or in your purse to do what you need to do as somebody becomes more frail. Understanding that they could go through all kinds of stages along the way. It's important to understand. I mean, it's seriously important to understand. And if you can't understand it, then how are you going to explain it to your kids? If you don't know what you have, how are your kids going to understand when they're the ones taking care of you? How many of you have ever taken care of someone's estate? Pardon me, after they died. Most of you, a lot of you. And when you went into the house to clean it out, were you ever surprised by what you found in there? Were you ever surprised that dad had gold coins? That mom had silver bars or jewelry? That they had a vase? That they had a really valuable Tiffany lamp that nobody really knew about because y'all played with it when you were a kid? How many times have you ever watched a TV show called Antiques Roadshow? I love that show. And one of the things I'm always amazed at is I got this from Grandma, but I don't know what it is. Or we were going through the house or the attic after Grandma died and we found this. Well, that's a tangible thing. What if we're dealing with intangibles like healthcare or finances or stocks or bonds or IRAs or 401ks or choosing a facility or picking a doctor or picking a treatment or deciding if the plug stays plugged in or not? Are all those, does everybody know where those tools are? Are they in the purse? And does everybody know where the purse is? They're really important questions, and they're questions that as a family, you need to be able to answer. One of the things I do at my workshops is I give everybody what I call a sample agenda for a family conference. And it's a way for families to sit down and figure out what's in the purse, what's in the toolbox, and how are they going to be able to use it and access it when dad dies or mom has a stroke or dad has a heart attack or whatever it is, or somebody develops dementia or just frailty. You know, half of everybody over 85 has some form of dementia. Half. That's a very large number. Does the person taking care of that 85-year-old have the tools that they need in the purse to take care of that person in the way that they want to be taken care of? Do you have the authority to take care of mom at home? Do you have the authority to pick the facility that mom's going into? Do you have the right to do that? Who in the family has the right to do that? Who has that tool? And how do they exercise it? Do you have the right to deal absolutely with the house and with money? I can't answer those questions for you, but one of the things that we talk about at the workshops a lot is exactly that, is making sure that I have the things in my purse that I need to have, and then making sure that my loved ones know where that purse is and what's in it and how to use the tools that are there. It's really, really, really important. I have someone, again, that I saw some time ago, and one spouse had dementia, and they went to somebody, and that person did wills for them. And I sat there and asked them, I said, you know, that's great, but how does that help you deal with the spouse that has dementia? Because no one's dead. So it's great that you have wills, and it's a wonderful tool if they're going to go through probate, and it's a wonderful tool, but it's not the right tool to deal with living issues. It's a tool that deals with dying issues. So as you begin to look around your own life or the life of that loved one, I want you to ask yourself the question, what's in my purse? What's in mom's purse? What's in dad's toolbox? Do I know? Do I know how to what choices I have to make for my wife if my wife has dementia or has a stroke tomorrow? What choices can I make? How can I deal with the assets? How can I protect them? How can I do what I need to do if I have to do what I need? How do I access veterans benefits or Medi-Cal benefits or whatever's out there? You know, how do we do that? You know, how many of you knew that there's a veterans benefit available to vets who were killed in combat who had 100% service-connected disability that will pay for their kids to go to college? How do you access that benefit? Is there a tool that you know to use to act? Do you know where dad's VA records are or mom's VA records are? Do you know when they served? Are all those things in the purse? If they're not, give me a call and bring your purse in or your toolbox in and we'll take a look. And we'll see if the tools are there that are necessary to deal with the issues of frailty and disability and getting older and all of those kinds of things. We'll make sure that the tools that need to be in your toolbox are there, or in your purse. And you can do that in several ways. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. Or call me, and when you go to the website, you can sign up for a workshop, you can send me an appointment request, you can ask me a question, or you can call me at 800-999-8007 and just say, Bob, I don't know what's in my purse. I don't know what's in my toolbox, and my kids, I don't think, know how to use them. And we'll figure out together how you can make sure you have the right things in your purse, the right tools in your toolbox for you, your spouse, or your family to make wise decisions and protect what you worked a lifetime for. 800-999-8007. We're going to take a little break here in a second. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And then I want to talk about wholesale or retail. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple seconds right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Stick around. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. California's single best source for information on growing older and how to take care of mom and dad and how to do all that kind of stuff. It's important to understand. I hope you appreciated the first half hour and you've thought about that. And I hope you go check your toolbox and your purse. Glad to have you with us again. You can always reach me at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website. That's a great place to go, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging. You can listen, .com. You can listen to my past radio programs, my podcast. Join us every Wednesday at noon, live podcast. You can go listen to my past radio shows. You can get information. You can contact me. You can sign up for my free newsletter. Just lots of information there, and you can always get a hold of me. Okay, I want to talk about something that's really important. It has to do with, and there's so much confusion about this. You know, I saw some stuff the other day from a seminar that's telling everybody that there's a 60-month look back. And people come into me all the time and say, I heard about this. I saw another one that said, you know, if you get any help, there's a granny goes to jail rule. There's going to be criminal charges, which is baloney. Did a law pass in the early 90s? Yes. Did Janet Reno come out and say, no, we're not prosecuting anybody? Yes. Did the New York State Bar sue to stop it? Yes. Is anybody enforcing it? No. If you want to worry about something, worry about filial responsibility laws, which are really on the books in California. And if you don't know what filial responsibility laws are, look them up. I'm not an attorney. I'm not going to comment on it. F-I-L-I-A-L. Okay, what I do want to talk about is wholesale or retail. Wholesale or retail when it comes to long-term care. And some of you are going, Bob, what are you talking about? Are you selling, you know, what? Are you a wholesaler? What is this? Are you got jewelry for sale? I can get it wholesale? A diamond ring or something? No. Nursing homes cost anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 a month and up. If you're on a ventilator, $30,000 to $35,000 a month. If you're on a trach, $20,000 a month. No, I'm not making those numbers up. The average cost is in the $8,000 to $10,000 range. Now, in California today, there are between 110,000 and 120,000 people in nursing homes on any given day. So that means somebody's going in nursing homes. I know everybody wants to stay at home. But home care is actually more expensive than a nursing home. Do the math. Somebody needs care 24 hours a day at home, $20 an hour. Let me take my little calculator out here. I'll do it for you. It's okay. So we got $20 an hour times 24 hours in the day times 30 days in a month equals $14,400 a month. That's what it costs for round-the-clock home care. So $10,000 to $15,000 for round-the-clock. I've seen as high as $20,000 a month for a round-the-clock in-home care. So my question always is, do you want it at a wholesale or retail? It's one of the great arguments. I don't sell it. Relax. Is one of the great arguments for long-term care insurance. I don't sell it. I can refer you to somebody that does, but I don't sell it. But one of the great advantages of long-term care insurance is it buys you more choice. You can maybe get, because you're paying cash, you can haggle a little bit because you got money coming in from your income and you've got money coming in from long-term care insurance, so you can maybe afford to stay at home or go to assisted living or a boarding care that government benefits don't pay for, because now you have the money to buy choice. So you may be able to get it at wholesale rather than retail because you've got the money to pay for it, so you can afford to go from place to place to place and see who has the best deal. It's like anything. If you have cash money in your hand, you can go shopping from car dealer to car dealer to car dealer and say, look, I got a stack of hundreds here that total $30,000. This is what I'm willing to pay, and here's, you know, it just gives you more leverage because you have a choice. You just have more choice. So as we begin to look at long-term care issues, do I want wholesale or retail? Do I want to take whatever I can get because I'm doing it in a panic, or do I want to be able to choose? Do I want to be able to pick the best for me? And I want to look at nursing homes for a minute, because that's the thing everybody's the most afraid of. They should be the most afraid of round-the-clock home care, but everybody is looking at nursing homes. I'm a big fan of always look at the softest level of care we can afford. By the way, which goes back to my what's in your purse discussion from the first half hour, if there aren't the right tools, including availability of funds, then you may not be able to pick the softest level of care. But let's look at nursing homes for a minute. The average nursing home charges for a two-bedroom somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 a day. $350 a day, sometimes more than that. That's the retail price. So if you go in as a, that's why you'll hear a lot of times nursing homes say, well, we don't have Medi-Cal beds. There is no such thing, by the way, as a Medi-Cal bed in a Medi-Cal approved facility. Medi-Cal has no beds. The only thing Medi-Cal won't pay for is a private room, unless you have a medical need. But there are no Medi-Cal beds. That's just a way of saying we want you to pay retail. So we don't want to talk to you about Medi-Cal because we make a lot more money if we get you to write the check rather than Medi-Cal to write the check. So a lot of nursing homes will tell you, I called a nursing home up today to make sure, because they used to be a private nursing home only. They didn't take any Medi-Cal, and now they are, and I called up to confirm that. And they said, well, we don't have any Medi-Cal bed availability right now. And I didn't say anything. I just wanted to double check and make sure they took Medi-Cal. But they told me they had no Medi-Cal beds, which isn't true, because there aren't Medi-Cal beds. What they wanted me to do is come in and pay retail. Because the hard reality is, folks, that Medi-Cal, and Medi-Cal doesn't like, I mean, nursing homes don't like people knowing about this, that you have a choice. You know, one of the reasons 500,000 families a year lose everything to the cost of a nursing home is because they don't know about this. They think there's no choice but to pay retail. But you also can pay wholesale, which is Medi-Cal, because Medi-Cal has a different rate than private pay. Medi-Cal has a rate that they agree to, and it's fixed by law, and says if you're in the Medi-Cal system, which every nursing home around here is, then this is what you agree to take. It varies on area and size and all that. Don't worry about the rate, but it's less than the private pay rate. So in effect, it's a wholesale rate. You are even entitled to the wholesale rate. Now get this, even if you were paying the entire bill you're entitled to, you can set it up so that you're entitled to the wholesale rate. I'm not making this up. It's called a super liability case, and you actually then get the Medi-Cal rate for the nursing home rather than the private pay rate. Even if you're paying the bill, you get the wholesale rate. The point is, going back to my first half hour, you have to have the right things in the purse or in the toolbox to be able to do that. Because remember, when you want the wholesale rate, by the way, I can guarantee you that if you follow my directions and you wind up in a nursing home, you'll get the wholesale rate. If you do it right, if your purse or toolbox is set up correctly, absolutely. Wouldn't you always like to know that you can get care at the wholesale rate, not the retail rate? That can be done, folks. You have to do it, you have to plan for it, but it's done every day. But it takes a little bit of planning. You have to, nobody wants to admit that they're ever going into a nursing home, so when they finally wind up in one, it's by default, because nobody ever wanted to make plans that would allow us to get the wholesale rate. But it's done, and it can be done, and it's done all the time. Now, the reality is that most nursing homes aren't going to tell you that. I wouldn't either if I were them, because I make more money. Remember, they're all for-profit. Nursing homes are for-profit for the most in almost every case. So they're, it's a business, and they're making a profit. So I wouldn't say it either if I was trying to make a profit. Ask McDonald's sometimes to tell you how much they actually it actually costs them for a Coke, a 16-ouncer. You'll be stunned. But they're not going to tell you. You're going to pay whatever a Coke costs, a buck or a buck and a quarter or whatever. How many of you are old enough like me to remember nickel Cokes? Yes, folks, I am that old. I remember nickel Cokes. And for those of you that are my age, how many of you remember the Coke machines that you used to not open the door? It was like a freezer, and you would open the lid and you would slide the little bottle along and put in your nickel and then pull it out. Those of you that are younger are going, what is he talking about? But yes, I remember nickel Cokes. I also remember green stamps. But that's a story for another day. I remember nickel Cokes and green stamps at the same time. So anyhow. So going back, I have a choice. I have a choice when it comes to long-term care planning, whether I'm going to pay wholesale or retail. And with some planning, you can choose. Again, I don't sell long-term care insurance, but I'm a fan. And one of the reasons I'm a fan a lot of the times is it allows me the choice to go find a less price, to get it at wholesale rather than retail. It buys me choice. What's the hottest thing in medicine right now? Those of you that are paying attention. Come on, some of you have been paying attention. With doctors, what's one of the hottest things in medicine? It's called concierge medicine. And that's where you pay a doctor, you know, $200 a month, and you have unlimited access to him, and if you set up an appointment, he'll see you the same day, and some doctors will even come to your house. They don't take Medicare or Medi-Cal, and you look up concierge medicine. It's one of the hottest things going, and one of the reasons why is it allows me to not have to stand in the doctor's office all day or in the emergency room all day waiting to see a doctor. I guaranteed that for one small wholesale fee, I have access to the doctor. And if I set an 11 o'clock appointment, the doctor will see me at 11 o'clock. And lots of doctors are moving to concierge medicine. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. If you just Google it, you go find out. So do you want to plan a little bit? Do you want to make sure you have the right tools in your toolkit and in your purse so that when it comes time for long-term care, you can get it at wholesale, not retail? So if I could get the VA to help pay for home care or assisted living, that would be good. If I could get Medi-Cal, depending on my income, to help pay for assisted living or a daycare situation because it's something called PACE and the waiver program, that would be a good thing. If I could get Medi-Cal to pay the wholesale rate for the nursing home instead of the retail rate, that would be a good thing. It would allow me or my family to keep more money in our pockets and not give it to the corporate owners of long-term care facilities or gigantic placement agencies. It gives me more control if I have more arrows in my quiver. So as you begin to look at what you have and what you're doing, you can ask yourself all the time, am I planning on wholesale or am I dooming myself to only pay for retail? It's a simple question. It's not rocket science. You know, there's five ways to pay for long-term care. Medicare, which doesn't really pay for a lot. It pays for rehab. Self-funding, which means what? Your nickel. VA, which will help pay for some forms of care. Long-term care insurance, if you have it. Or Medi-Cal. Those are the only five ways I know of to pay for long-term care. The biggest way, for other than nursing homes, is self-funding. It's coming out of your IRA, your money, your reverse mortgage, so that mom can stay at home, out of the kids' pockets. You'd be stunned at how many children wind up paying for mom and dad's care because nobody wanted to talk about this along the way. Nobody wanted to have the wholesale versus retail discussion. But you have a choice. When it comes to planning for getting older and long-term care, how many of you downsized as you got older? You know, you had a five-bedroom house because you had a house full of kids, and then you get to be about 70 or 75, and you go, you know, we're not handling the stairs so well anymore, so, you know, we need to downsize. We want everything on one floor. We're looking for something with wider doorways because we may have wheelchair or walker issues. What are you doing? You're making wholesale versus retail choices because now you're going to free your downsizing to free up money because you know you're going to need to provide for yourself or your own care. As you plan for long-term care, you always have to keep, in addition to what's in your purse, which was in the first half hour, but do I want to set this up so I can pay wholesale, or do I always want to be confronted with paying retail? Do I want choice, or do I want no choice? You have a choice, okay? All of you, you know, you say, well, I know somebody that, you know, sells TVs and I can get one at wholesale. Well, who wouldn't want to do that? Why would anyone pay retail if they could get wholesale? I know, you know, I get the dealer's discount because my brother-in-law works at the Ford dealer or whatever it is. I get it wholesale. I get it for less money. Everybody would rather have wholesale than retail. Long-term care is the same thing. You just have to put yourself in a position where you get that. You just have to make sure that you're in a position that you do that, that you're able to do that. And it all starts with having the conversation. Do I want to pay wholesale or do I want to pay retail? Which one do I want to do? It's a simple question. It's a simple discussion. It's easy to do. It doesn't take much time. And I do it all day long with people. You have the right and obligation, I think, to protect what you've worked a lifetime for. Why would you spend more money than you need to if you can get it for wholesale? But it starts with being willing to have a conversation, to have a conversation with what's in your purse, which is from the first half hour, and then a conversation about, do I want it at wholesale? If I want it at wholesale, then I need to begin to have the conversation of making sure I have the things in place so I can do that. There aren't many guarantees in life. But if somebody is willing to plan and somebody is willing to do what they need to do, you can protect everything you have. You absolutely can. I see it done every day. I've done it for clients. I know lots of really good people who do what I do, elder law attorneys, who have protected millions and millions and millions of dollars. I can tell you right now, I have protected millions of dollars in my career that went to families instead of to the state or to the corporate owners of care facilities. And I'm not ashamed of that at all, because these people worked hard for this. And they chose to set themselves up in such a way that they were able to do stuff for wholesale rather than retail. You have a choice, but it begins with a conversation with the family, with somebody like me, with someone who can put the pieces of the puzzle together. It's also important that you be discerning. Remember I said earlier, you can go out and get a $399 purse or a $599 purse or a $13,000 purse. It doesn't change the fact that none of them may work. They're a purse, but it doesn't mean they have the tools inside that you need to have inside. I mentioned a couple weeks ago going to workshops where, you know, they're doing purses really cheap. But the things that you're going to need, I've also been to workshops where they're doing things really, I looked at one the other day that's really, 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 really expensive. It's an expensive purse, planning purse. And it's talking about a 60-month look back, and there is no 60-month look back, folks. People should be fleeing from that purse. Simply saying you have something is not part of the planning process. You need to understand how to use the tools and how they're going to allow you to get what you work so hard for wholesale and not retail. I don't have the answer for everybody. I have the answer for most people. I can also tell you there's a lot of people floating around out there who don't have the answers, who purport to. I can also tell you there are people out there who have spent their entire lives purposefully not protecting seniors because they believe in something called half a loaf, which means you spend half to keep half. Why would you spend half? If that's not more than retail, I don't know what is. But if you don't spend more than half, if you spend half only to save half, what kind of plan is that? Let's see, Bob, my plan is I'm going to spend half of everything I have so that I can keep the other half. Shouldn't the discussion be, how do I protect everything that I have? But if you look up half a loaf, if you Google that, you'll find all kinds of people that believe in half a loaf. It's in the industry, everybody knows what that means. Wouldn't you rather have control of your life and control of your money and leave it to your family than leave it to somebody else? My job is not protecting it for the kids. My job is protected for mom and dad. But I want mom and dad to have choices, and I want the children to be able to take care of mom and dad in the way they would like to be able to taken care of for as little cost as possible. I want mom and dad always to be able to get wholesale, not have to pay retail. Does that make sense? It does to me. And it has for the 25 years I've been doing it, and I've been saying the same thing for 18 years here on the radio. Nobody, 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 nobody has to lose anything, or especially everything, just because at the end of your life you had the wrong disease. If you have cancer, Medicare will pay the entire bill. If you have Alzheimer's, nobody's paying your bill without planning because you had the wrong disease. If you wind up in a nursing home because of ALS, Medicare won't pay that bill. It'll pay for your doctor when you're diagnosed with ALS, but it's not paying for the nursing home you're going to wind up in at $35,000 a month if you're on a ventilator or a trach. You have a choice. Nobody needs to lose everything just because at the end of life they had the wrong disease. I was passionate about it 25 years ago, and I'm more passionate about it today, especially with the prevalence of everybody and his uncle telling people all the stuff they can and can't do. Most of it's simply untrue. I wish you could see the stuff that people send to me from workshops and seminars and stuff they've been told that is just patently false. Give me a call, 800-999-8007. Get in and make sure your toolkit and your purse are packed chock full of all the stuff you're going to be able to need, or your family's going to be able to need or to use when you need care. Make sure you've given them the tools to do wholesale, not retail. Make sure you've given them the tools to protect a lifetime's work, not give it to the state of California or the corporate owners of facilities. You have a right to that stuff, folks. You paid taxes for 50 years, 60 years. The rules were designed to protect the middle class. Take advantage, the same group that gets hammered all the time. These rules were designed to protect the middle class. If you look at the rules, that's exactly what they were designed to do. Make a difference in your life. Go get on the phone, get on the internet, and get a hold of me and get in to see me. Get to one of the workshops, but make a decision and move. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, and get in contact with me or sign up for a workshop or ask me a question. We'll be here next week, same time, same channel. Look forward to it. Thank you so much for listening, and pick up my podcast next Wednesday at noon. We'll see you here again next week right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. You all have a great, great day.